Hey, this is Steli.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode of The Startup Trip, we're going to talk about how you and I are thinking about trends.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Especially trends in business and in technology. You know, obviously also you could draw even further and think about trends around the world in terms of how people consume things or how businesses buy things. But in specific, what we really want to talk about, I think, is technology and business trends, right? Typically around the end of the year, the beginning of the year, and especially when you're in software and technology in some way, there's always these super hot trends, this like the next big wave of growth that will come in these new areas. And I think that a lot of people, there's a lot of, as far as I can tell, and this is going to be my first way of how I think about these trends, is that a lot of times I see people being confused about what these things mean and kind of not realizing what is a true trend versus what is just a fad or a fashion or just a cool new branding for something that is not new at all. It's been maybe a trend that's been going on for much longer and it's not a new thing. And one thing that comes to my mind immediately on that is the whole, you know, big data and machine learning turning into artificial intelligence. Like AI has been a new thing that's been thrown around pretty wildly and recklessly, especially in SaaS in 2016. And in most of these cases, I'm having a really hard time finding the artificial intelligence that's supposedly part of what is being sold there. And now I hear a lot of new SaaS founders saying, oh, we're going to build this and this, and it's going to be AI for whatever. There was something funny the other day that my co-founder was sharing with me in company chat. AI for something ridiculous, whatever. So AI is being thrown. It was just ridiculous. Where I was laughing for a good amount of time, just like thinking about it. Just because now AI seems to be the new whatever social was or mobile. It seems like you need to attach this to what you're doing to prove that you're going to be part of a bigger trend. Although what you're doing has nothing to do with AI. In most cases, not even real machine learning, but like it's so far from artificial intelligence, but it's just a cool new tag. And now we have all these big SaaS companies coming out with products, and they're just naming them Einstein and Tesla and Edison and whatever. And we're all now thinking about an AI component in our SaaS product, although it may or may not be anything that has to do with AI at all. All right, so I'm rambling here, but
I'm gonna bring it back home.
All right, bring it back home.
Yeah, it's good ramble though, because I can ramble on this topic. But as you were talking, I really wanted to step back for a second and talk about trends and why they're important to everybody listening, regardless of what your job is or role is. So for me, I've been watching trends for probably most of my life, just because I used to break apart my telephone and try to figure out how it worked and then put it back together and then it wouldn't work. And it frustrated my parents quite a bit, but they were very supportive, believe it or not. I broke apart every little thing I saw. The second I could use a screwdriver, it was on like Donkey Kong. Some of my favorite tools were screwdrivers. And the reason I mentioned that is the reason I was opening all this stuff is I wanted to know how it worked. And I think that really speaks to like why I really love product and thinking about that. So since I've been building businesses on the internet, it's about 13 years now, 14 next year, I guess. I wanted to break apart how software worked, or break apart how someone did a marketing tactic or a sales thing or whatever it may be. And one of the reasons for doing that is that we're all creators and we're all looking to create things. Doesn't matter who you are, you're making stuff or you're facilitating other people to make stuff, which is most of my job these days. And the trends always come in your mind, and taking it all the way to software now, there's a lot of software out there. And there's a lot of support for us building software, meaning I could even go throw up a website with some, you know, with an Amazon instance pretty easily just by Googling around a little bit and figuring it out. And I'm not an engineer at all, which will probably come as a surprise to some people, but that's for another episode. So what I want to say about trends, and that, you know, before we like jump into like kind of AI and the specific ones, is that we have a natural tendency to go towards these trends because they're new, And if we're making things, they're really important. They could be really important to our jobs, and we probably don't want to miss out on those trends. So it's another thing. Like, it's almost like it's trendy to be trendy, just in life in general. And you want to be that cool person that knows about that new thing that's so hot and interesting. But what comes with that sort of mindset and that mentality, which I think a lot of humanity, at least in the US and in more wealthy parts of the world, are, is like they're looking for the next thing, whether it's an Apple Watch or you know, the next iPhone. And all these things have new technology and new things that these companies have impressively, in often cases, used. Like, for example, Amazon just launched a supermarket where you just walk in and walk out. You walk in, get what you want, walk out. You don't have to do anything else except walk in and walk out. They even call it like Amazon, like walk out, just walk out technology. How genius, right? And that's impressive. And it's very interesting to me because it the amount of technology, and I will say trendy technology that it takes to make that work is ridiculous. They've applied it. So now in software, we're like, oh, we should apply machine learning. We should apply AI into whatever we're doing. Because, you know, it'll solve all problems. But I think people forget that Amazon and many other companies that are applying this, Apple and even Google to a great extent, has applied these technologies to natural, normal, you know, human problems that are always the same. Like, yeah, we're always going to need to go buy food somewhere, or it's going to have to get delivered to us, whatever. But Amazon's already tried the delivery thing. They've been working on that for a while. Now they're like, oh, we'll do a grocery store and make a 10x better experience. So what I would advocate is that if you're getting trendy, especially if you're building software or even like looking for the next big marketing channel, like, you know, I think a podcast is actually pretty trendy right now, right? You have to dig in and you have to truly understand whether it's worth your time or not to apply it to your business and whether it's actually going to solve human problems, right? Problems that matter to your audience. Like, for example, if someone said, I'm going to start a podcast and I'm going to get a lot of customers because of my podcast, the first thing I'd do is start laughing. The next thing I would do after I calm down, you know, and I'd be like, well, actually, there's probably, have you tried these 5 or 10 other things that are lower hanging fruit for you and aren't as trendy? Because those are most likely to work. So we have to really be conscious of these trends that are all around us because they bubble up and people like to talk about them. But my advice for that, you know, just to dig in before kind of I let Stelly say something, is you have to like figure out, how is it practical? And is there anyone talking about it that's even remotely related to what you're doing in a way that, you know, applies it? So I call this it's an applied trend. So a trend isn't useful to you until you actually apply it and it works. So for example, all the grocery stores are probably freaking out right now, freaking out, because they know that the experience at the grocery store is now going to be better because Amazon has entered the space. So you're going to see a lot of them go, oh, we should have done that. We should go do it. But they're not Amazon. They're not tech companies. They can't actually utilize those technologies very easily. So what's going to happen? There's going to be a crop of startups that pop up that might already exist even that I can't think of yet that are going to try to make those supermarkets just like Amazon's market. And that's actually an applied example. I just gave an example of an industry where you'd think that was impossible. I'm sure the grocery store owners were not thinking about this in the way that Amazon was, and Amazon comes out and literally puts this out there and says, this is what's up. And now all those grocery stores are like, okay, we have an applied example. Let's go do something about it. My bet would be someone like Whole Foods goes for it first.
Yeah. And then just to, you know, keep spinning with this, what happens is that Amazon goes into this. Maybe there's a few startups that are now saying, you know what, grocery store markets is not something that seemed very startup-y, but now it is. If we apply a lot of technology to it, this could be a big opportunity. You get a bunch of investors to put money into it. And then some of these larger chains, because they can't innovate as easily internally, they might just pick up some of these startup companies and just acquire them as an easier way for them to get that expertise, or at least appear to be. Okay, so there's, I mean, there's obviously a lot why people are interested in trends. It's one way that we are trying to predict the future, right? And if we know what's going to happen in the future, then hopefully our odds of having influence over it or succeeding in it are higher. It's a very natural thing to be interested and curious about what's new and what's next. And what's new, what's next being the thing that's being a very attractive trait in life and in humanity. But then there's also, when you talk to a lot of startup founders, and at times they describe what they're doing in ways that seem irrational to me. Let's say, you know, we're doing whatever, we're doing this, email SaaS marketing tool, and it's going to be AI as well. And then I go, whoa. What artificial...
Wait, you're working on AI, Skelly? You're working on AI?
I'm like, what exact artificial intelligence have you created that I would, that tell me more about that? And then, yeah, well, it's more, you know, some sort of machine learning. I'm like, what exactly? What, tell me about the intelligence part here. What exactly is this? And then it's really just automation, right? This is automating a bunch of things and having some if-then rules. And like, it's not even that, it's very, very simple. And like, why the fuck are we talking about AI when what we're doing is something totally different? Like, and then a lot of times the responses that I get are things like, well, you know, investors will like it more. Well, we're going to get more press. Well, it's good. You know, it's like, it's sort of the story is like, we know it's bullshit, but we think we have to say it so we're attractive, right? We think we have to say it so that we get funding, so that we get press, so that we are able to hire amazing people. Everybody's doing these cool new things. We have to be cool and new in some way as well. And I'm really concerned about people that are taking that
chasing strategy. Chasing shiny objects? It's just because they're shiny?
It's actually not them chasing shiny object, in my opinion, because they're shiny. It's them trying to pretend they are a shiny object so other people pick them up. Right? So it's the, I want to get VC money, and I think the only way to do it is to be a shiny object to VC.
All right. So in that example, it actually does work. It's probably the worst thing you can do, but it actually does work because just like founders, VCs have the same mindset. I'm going to go get money from limited partners because we're just an AI-focused fund. And AI is going to be huge.
Yeah.
So it's almost a self-fulfilling thing, at least in startup land around the funding side, where a bunch of funds exist for AI. I'm building something that I think is going to be hot just because it has AI in it. And so I'm going to pitch all those funds. They'll get funded, and I can tell you how the story is going to play out. The vast majority will fail. And if AI is really not the promised land, all of them will fail.
Yeah, and especially the ones will fail that did it because they wanted to appear like a shiny object. Like,
right.
I don't know many stories where a company became truly successful with some longevity, and the founding story was, we're doing this thing because everybody thought it's really cool, and we were not convinced ourselves, but we just gave it these names because we wanted to raise money. Like,
yeah, there's countless pitch decks I see with buzzwords in it. And then as I dig into the business, I'm like, well, where is the AI?
Where's this
like,
thing?
Where is it? Like, what are you actually using here? And they're like, oh, no. We're not doing that yet. I'm like, wait, why'd you call it that? Well, we think, you know, our advisors told us it's a better way to frame it. I'm like, oh, well, but you're lying.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. So, yeah, I know what you're saying. I've seen too many even recently that are just like exactly the same language. It's like, well, and then I'll tell them and describe what a great pitch or value prop is for the thing. They're like, no, but like that, we were told that that's not going to work. I'm like, but that's the truth.
Let's switch gears real quick and focus on the two of us, right? So we both run software companies, and in software and in technology, there's a lot of trends, right? There's a lot of interesting, cool, you know, world-changing stuff going on. And we know for a fact that in 5 years, the world will look very different than it does today. And some new technologies, some new developments will happen that will have pretty massive impact, right? Just like the last 5 years. So how do we prepare for this? How do we think about this as you're building your businesses, as you're setting up roadmaps, as you invest in technology, as these new trends are happening, as these new things are being developed, as these new companies pop up? How do you choose when to bet on a trend versus not? SaaS was a trend at some point, right? Was it? I'm not even sure. Maybe.
SaaS has been a trend for
a long time.
For a while. And I was definitely trendy early on, but I think I was right. And we went from services, just, you know, consulting services, to building SaaS back in 04, 05. And then we just put out a lot of SaaS and found one that worked in Crazy Egg. And it was definitely trendy. And there were a few companies that were actually successful and practically talking about it. I'm going to mention 37signals/Basecamp because they didn't just talk about their SaaS and how they built it and how awesome it is. It was very practical. It was very applied. But they also created a whole framework, a programming framework, Rails, Ruby on Rails, to facilitate more SaaS and make sure that there was more SaaS. I don't think they cared to make sure, but it was great marketing for them. And so if you were to ask me, that was a successful trend that I definitely jumped on. But the, you know, you're asking how to determine that. Well, you have to believe that it's a trend that's good for the world. You have to believe that it's a trend that has longevity. And you have to believe that you will be capable of riding that trend, which is probably the most important thing.
That's a really important one, right? Because most people are focused on like what the world kind of in overgeneralized ways wants and where the future is going and all that, but they're not asking themselves what is the strength and the kind of unique competitive advantage that I bring to the table, and does that fit with the overall trend, or does it fit with a counter trend, or with something else?
And I have simple tests on a lot of these trends even today. Like if you ask me, if somebody came to me and said, hey, you know, for let's say you're competing with Kissmetrics, just as an example, let's say they have this new cool thing that does AI or uses machine learning to help people, you know, analyze their data, right? And it's very accurate so that people don't have to view reports anymore, but instead they just read a statement, right? And it tells them what a funnel report would tell them. I would be like, well, give me a demo. Let me see it, right? Like I want to see what it looks like and understand it to see if you're actually able to do that. Cause that actually still is a pretty complex problem. Two, what you start realizing really fast is if they did that successfully, it's likely they put a lot of constraints on it and then they were able to apply it. And so they might be able to do it for just paid advertising, cause for paid advertising and those funnels, it's easy to do. But for all these other use cases, they can't do it yet. That's a very common thing when you get trendy, which is you put constraints on it so that it is actually achievable. I'm not at all saying that's bad, but that's an example of what I meant, right? Where can I actually apply this and make it work? I mean, I'll give another example that's completely different. In my businesses, we've never gone into mobile and built anything for mobile. We probably will in the nearish future, but not even next year, most likely based on our roadmaps. The reason is, we see people be successful in mobile, but we personally had been through the trend of seeing Facebook apps come and go and attempting to build product there and realizing before many other people did in our space that you shouldn't do that. It won't work. So I was right, actually. Either people got acquired really early and then they had to shut down their products, or the businesses totally imploded because they just focused on Facebook apps and they had to find the next thing. Well, we went back to basics and said, we're going to focus on businesses and businesses that have websites. And the reason we didn't go after mobile was because we didn't think our team could be successful with it, because early on, the folks that were doing analytics and data things for mobile were very focused on developers, while our market had always been marketers. And marketers and mobile still doesn't go together, because you have to have a way higher degree of developer chops and engineering chops in order to do marketing for mobile apps today, because they're just more complicated. There isn't a single channel you can use and you don't have as much control without engineering. And so we never went into it because our target market wasn't like that. But that's just a really quick played out version of how I think about trends. I'm sure there's a bunch of patterns in there, but I've already described them. So that's my answer to your question, which is like, make sure the number one thing is making sure it's something you can be successful in. It doesn't matter what trend it is. You have to make sure you, your team can execute on it. And it could mean that you change your whole company so that you do execute on it and you design your company around that execution of that trend, whether it's AI, machine learning, or, you know, self-driving cars or any of these things, because you really believe in it and you believe it's important. That's totally cool. But then you have to build all this muscle. You have to build all these capabilities to be able to be successful at it. I'll give one last example that's related to one I gave before. So my co-founder and I, because we ran services businesses and neither of us were technical, we didn't know squat about building software or SaaS back in 04, 05. So what we did is we hired a ton of people. And it was my job to go basically get ramped up and understand how a lot of this works. And Neil, my co-founder, helped a ton too, but I was spending a lot of time understanding engineering. I'd read up on Rails, read up on that. We had a big problem at Crazy Egg. And the number one thing I did is I used the kind of stealthy hustle tactic, and I emailed every single developer on the Ruby on Rails contributor list. Some of them I just cold called them too, because they had their phone number. And we found this engineer that literally has been working with us for 13 years. Not 13, sorry, 10. Yeah, over 10. Probably 11 years now. Because I found him, I went on that massive hustle hunt, and it's worked out. But I knew that we weren't going to be able to hit on this trend unless we had an engineering partner that was very dedicated to the way we think about the world and dedicated to learning it. And he loved Rails at the time. So it worked out really well. And Rails was like 0.1 or 0.2, version 0.1 or 0.2 at the time. So it takes a lot of conviction to do that. Like, if we didn't find that engineer, our businesses would not be where they were today.
It's crazy. I've known about your partner, that engineer, for a while now, but I never realized that you cold emailed the dude.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's awesome.
I think the VP of engineering or CTO at Airbnb now, his name's Scott Raymond. Uh-huh. He's one of the guys I talked to back then, and he's had multiple startups. He's still a friend. And I have like old contacts with that. I talked to people in Brazil because a lot of them were working on it, and it was insane. And it was the Stelly tactic. I call it the Stelly tactic now that I know your tactics.
Well, this could be a great blog post. You should share that story.
Oh, it will be. It will be. Yeah, awesome. I'm working on it. Yeah.
All right. So, okay. I think it's tips time around the trends. I think, and what you just described could also be categorized as a few of your tips and tactics.
I'll reiterate it after you go. Yeah.
So for me, when it comes to trends, I mean, it's very simple. I personally enjoy reading about the way the world is changing as much as anybody else. I enjoy reading about trends. I do believe that I'm a lot more skeptical today, and maybe even cynical than I used to be. But it's very much applied in that I believe that short term we overhype everything, but we completely misunderstand and kind of undervalue the long term implications of some of these things, right? So the way that I try to look at trends is, I don't think this will work in the next, you know, maybe year or two or three the way that everybody agrees it will. But how could this, what would this look like in a decade or in 20 years from now? What could be the long-term implications of that? Even knowing that even that kind of a linear extrapolation is probably also going to lead me to wrong conclusions, I find it to be an interesting exercise of imagination, at least. When it comes to me practically making decisions on what things to invest in, what things to work on, how to build the business, what things we as a company should invest in or not, there are two things to this. One is that I like to bring in people and build a team that I believe in when it comes to them making bets on technologies, making bets on some of these things, because I don't think that I'm not qualified. It's not my natural strength to pick a technology or new methodology in technology and go, this is going to be the future. We should bet on it. When it comes to what I bring to the table, it's usually counter trends. It's like looking at what everybody says isn't cool anymore, isn't trendy, isn't fashionable, and then asking myself, what could be done? Is this really done? Is this really dead? And we had an episode about things being dead and proclaimed dead as tactics and strategies. I'm more of a, when everybody zigs, what about the zagging? Like that's kind of my natural way of thinking, is when there's something, when there's a big trend and everybody wants to jump on it, I'm wondering where to look at to find real kind of unexplored, undervalued opportunities. So usually I think about trends in ways of like, what's the counter trend? What's the counter movement to this movement that I could explore or could look into? Yeah, those are just bringing the betting on the right people is one way. And the other way is for me to actually look at the counter trend to the big, exciting trend that everybody agrees on. That's usually how I think about what to do and what to